Tonight's episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by Wix.com. If you need a website, why not do it yourself with Wix.com? You need to get the word out about your business or your blog. It all starts with a stunning website. No matter what business you're in, Wix has something for you. Wix.com is used by more than 70 million people throughout the world, and you can do it yourself without needing to be a web design know-it-all. Hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from with easy drag-and-drop features, no coding needed, and you can get your website live today. It's free. You can just go to Wix.com, sign up for an entirely free account today with no credit card required. It's easy, and the result is stunning. So go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com today.
Though Steven is not around, you still have to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yeah, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here live once again, Wednesday night after Survivor. It's November 18, 2015, and we have got one hell of a show to talk about between myself and this man, Josh Wigler. Josh, how the hell are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm ready to talk about my favorite season of American Horror Story, which is Coven. Woo!
Yeah. Josh, are you ready to talk about this latest evolution of strategy here in Survivor 31?
How wonderful are all these plugs for our little audiobook that we did? This is like the third time they've done it on the show this season. It's great.
Really catching on. So thank you so much to everybody who has been finally noticing what we've been talking about, this evolution of the game of Survivor and all of the strategy. And I think that we are able to really do a deep dive into trying to figure out what Steven and Jeff and everybody there has been talking about, because we talked about last week of, is this really a different situation that we've seen in all the other seasons? And we said, not really, but I think that finally, I think we have a better understanding of what they're talking about when they talk about an evolution of the game.
Right, yeah. I think that what Steven is talking about makes a lot of sense to me, because when you go and search for evolution of strategy, you can get 49 Laws of Survivor as well, and so you can buy his audiobook. So he's obviously trying to drive the sales on his audiobook as well. So it's very intelligent stuff he's doing.
Yeah, very smart stuff. Very smart guy. And so we are going to talk about everything here tonight live. And I am back for the first time doing a live Survivor podcast since the birth of my son, my second son. Not the second sons, not those sons of the harpies.
And what's his name, Rob? What's your son's name?
Anthony. Yes, that's right. So we're very excited. For those of you guys wondering how everything is going, everything is good. Nicole and I came back from the hospital on Saturday, and Nicole, as expected, did great. And it was a little touch and go for a couple of days with this kid not screaming at all hours of the day and night if he wasn't being held. And so finally, he's had a good last couple of days. So everything is good over here. And I'm very excited to be back with you guys. And thanks so much for all the warm wishes that we got from the listeners over these last 6 or 7 days. And I tweeted earlier that I had to watch last week's episode because it really feels like last Wednesday was 3 years ago for me.
Yeah, it's been, you've lived through a lifetime, it feels like, since you've been gone. It feels like a long time since last Wednesday. So I'm glad to hear that everything's going so well over at House Cesternino. I'm sure everyone is really pumped to hear this. So that's great stuff, Rob. Really, really, really fun.
All right, so we got so much to do here tonight. Of course, Kelly Wigglesworth voted out of the game that we just saw a little while earlier tonight. So, Josh, we're expecting exit interviews tomorrow?
I think we'll get exit interviews tomorrow. I don't know if they'll be like the standard 15-minute length exit interview. We'll see. Let's see how long we can go. I'm excited to talk to Kelly Wigglesworth. I'm excited to get her take on the game that we obviously did not see very much of this season. I think exit interviews will be on. It's just a matter of how long will they be on for. You think they'll be on, right?
I think they'll be on. You think typically in the exit interview game, I think we would hear from CBS like, hey, just so you know, this person's not doing any press.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. I think so we would know ahead of time. And to this point, we haven't heard anything. So we'll see. Hopefully Kelly is up for talking about what happened, because we certainly have a lot of questions for her.
Yeah.
And of course, Josh, I just wanted to say once again, what a great job you did doing the exit interview last week with Andrew Savage and then doing the recap podcast with Marty Piombo.
Yeah, it was fun. I really liked my talk with Savage, especially. I thought he came up onto the podcast. You know, I didn't know what to expect from him. He was certainly a certain way on the show. I thought that he owned a lot of his mistakes in the game. And, you know, we talked about the whole strategy is disgusting thing. He's like, yeah, that was stupid. So I thought that was good. I really liked that chat with Savage, and I got to chat with him a little while after that as well. So it was a very Savage Thursday, last Thursday.
Yeah, I thought he was a really good sport about everything. So kudos to Andrew Savage. And of course, if you want to check out Josh's exit interviews for Parade.com, you could use our link to go to robswebsite.com/parade. And then we've got a big show on the recap podcast as I get back into it. We're going to be doing this in two parts, going to do our regular recap and then our voicemail. But I'm going to break it up into two segments, because we just got a lot, you know, those are late nights doing a lot of the editing for me. And I got to take my mom to the airport and a couple other things. So what we're going to do, first part, part one, doing our recap podcast with Nalia from Survivor Marques. This is going to join me.
Oh my heck.
Yes, the Sweet Pea will be joining me to talk about this.
So, the second half of the Carol Dennis ticket.
Yes, so very excited about that. And then the Purple Pants Badass himself will be joining me. Bryce Isaiah Johnson will join me to take your voicemails, and then I'll post that on Friday morning. So we're going to be doing that up in two pieces. So you'll get basically, it'll probably end up being a longer show altogether for you guys, but we're going to be just breaking it up into two parts just for the sake of getting that output to you guys in a reasonable fashion. And definitely Scott St. Pierre will be helping out with that. So very excited about a very busy Thursday. We'll tell you how to get your voicemails into the show, of course, at the end. So you guys know how to do it. But let's get into this, because I'm really excited about this episode.
So much to talk about.
Yeah, I really want to talk about the emergence of Stephen Fishback into this season, because Stephen's edit and his has been one of the more interesting stories to follow throughout the course of this. And of course, you know, this is somebody who's, you know, a great friend who I've talked about this, you know, for several seasons after each episode. So I really sort of got a mindset, you know, an understanding of how he sees the game going into this. But I'm really starting to feel like that Steven has come into this season, and I'm really seeing the Vlachos influence on Steven Fishback. All those being taunted times about the sleepover party, and Steven is playing a hyper-aggressive game.
Yeah, how many sleepovers with Tony do you think he attended in the lead-up to Second Chance? Maybe that was part of his prep. Maybe he was going to Jersey City. It's not a far hop from Williamsburg. It's certainly possible that they connected. Yeah, he's coming in hot. This was a big night for Steven, for sure.
Yeah, so very much looking forward to that. Steven not only ends up making a big move, going after somebody who he sees as a big threat to him in Kelly Wigglesworth, even though he described her as a power player, it certainly did not seem that way to us in the edit, but we will certainly explore that.
Yeah.
And plus, Steven gets his hands on another evolution of strategy piece here of the vote stealer. Is that what we're calling it?
I don't know what we're calling it. It's something like that. It's definitely new. It's not the vote doubler. It's not the classic extra vote that Dan Foley got last time. He gets to gank a vote. He steals a vote. That's insane. I don't know what you want to call it. You want to call it the vote theft, the vote stealer?
What about the fish backsy? Like you take he's taking your vote back.
Fish backsy. I like that. I like vote theft auto, maybe would be good.
We're workshopping stuff.
We'll workshop it. Let's get some suggestions going from you people.
Yeah. Okay. So we are going to talk about that as well. Plus, Jeremy has another hidden immunity idol, and we will start to uncover everything going on with the blocks. But let's explore the Steven thing, because I just occurred to me tonight where you see Steven, he's going for an advantage like nobody's business. He's making bold, aggressive moves where he is not telling his allies what's going on, where he's trying to get, you know, Jeremy and Spencer to go along with this plan. It's like, we'll tell you know, Tasha and Kimmy after the fact. It'll be good. We're not making an alliance with these people. We're just using them for one vote, and then we'll come back to our regular alliance after this, a la Tony. Do you see similarity between the game that Tony played in Kagyan to what Steven is trying to do here?
Yeah, to the point that he's using Spencer in some of these switches, you know, and leaving Tasha out of it. So it's absolutely there. I don't know. I mean, Steven is wanting to build a resume. And I think that there is a sense in the air for these people at Second Chance in Cambodia. These people saw what Kelly Wentworth did. That's a real resume building move. Now that a guy like Savage is gone, I feel like there is something, you know, there's a little bit of blood in the water of, I need to do something that makes me stand out if I get to the end, when I get to the end, hopefully. And I think that Steven had been talking about that for a while, and now he's acting on it. And I think that that's very much a Tony thing. And if we look at a lot of the past winners in recent Survivor history, those are the types of people that you're seeing win the game right now. You know, from Natalie, who goes really aggressive at the end of her thing. Tony, obviously. Mike Holloway, who is aggressive in a way that doesn't always work. Maybe Steven is looking at recent history and saying, that's the way to go right now. That's the momentum. Whether or not it works is another question, but I could see that being the drive, don't you?
I certainly can. And boy, Steven, no matter what happens here, he's making a hell of a case for Survivor Third Time's a Charm.
He's been awesome television. You know, this is like the best we could have hoped for from Steven Fishback. He's cried. He's made us laugh. He's making huge moves. He beat Spencer in a swimming contest. So, you know, laugh at him all you want going down the slide, Jeff Probst, but the dude's got the chops when it counts. So, well, maybe not when it comes to chopping wood. He doesn't have the chops there. But, you know, he's been great TV so far. He's been really good.
I've been really proud of him, especially these last couple of weeks after the merge. I think he's really gone a long way. And we talked about in the beginning of the season, who was going to fill in the void left by Jeff Varner? And I feel like it's Steven.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? I believe it's Varner. I think that's good. That's really great. I think that Steven has definitely been one of the big electric characters of the season so far. And I think that maybe if you looked at him in Token Jeans, you wouldn't necessarily expect that. But he's been great. He's been huge. So let's talk through Steven's move tonight a little bit. He rallies Jeremy and Spencer. He decides he wants to use the witches for a vote, and he wants to use that energy against Kelly Wigglesworth. What are you thinking about this? Where do you think Steven's coming from with this move?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't love the move. I'm really proud of Steven that he's really gone out there, and I feel like he's playing to win, and I really respect that he's come out and playing very aggressive. But I feel like that at Final 11, boy, this was a lot of people to stab in the back to get rid of Kelly Wigglesworth. I feel like, was Kelly Wigglesworth that big of a threat? Steven called her a power player, and now he's sort of in bed with the Abby Marias and Sierras and Kelly Wentworths of the world, who will throw him or any of those guys under the bus the first chance that they get. Plus, he's also sort of further distancing himself from the Kimmys and the Tashas of the world. So I feel like that I don't love that. Plus, there's no love for him from Joe and Keith. So plus, he has this advantage now in his pocket, which we saw last season, and I'm sure we'll explore this further, where that Dan Foley referred to it as this big honking neon sign that was a target on his back.
The golden ticket.
Yeah. So I feel like for Steven that he was, as the person who was the driving force on this, I feel like that he spent a lot of political capital to get Kelly Wigglesworth out of the game.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying when you say, you know, he's burning a lot of people. But when you look at the roster of people who are left, is he really? I mean, he doesn't have a big thing with Joe. He has got a rivalry with Joe. He doesn't have huge trust with Joe. Who knows what his relationship with Keith is like? But it's really only Kimmy and Tasha that he's not including in on the loop. Now, there's three people in the game, Wentworth, Sierra, and Abby, who he has now shown that I'm willing to work with you if the situation calls for it. Jeremy and Spencer were on board with him. So there's really only two people that he was solidly with that he may have rubbed the wrong way. And depending on how Jeremy and Spencer are in equally hot water with this move. And you got to imagine that they at least have a fighting chance of winning Kimmy and Tasha back over. This is something you say a lot, Rob. Like, where are Kimmy and Tasha going? They're forming up with Joe and Keith and having a foursome. Well, that sounds interesting. But they're going to have a voting block of four versus this block of six that might be here right now between Fishback's Bros and the Witch's Coven. I don't know where they're going. So I get the idea on paper of maybe he's burned some people, but I think when you stop down and look at it, it's not like the worst burn. I don't think it's the most severe burn. I think that you can heal them.
So I think where it's pretty interesting is tying it back to this idea of this evolution in the game and this talk of voting blocks. And I'm not sure if necessarily everybody who was watching the show was catching on to what they're talking about it. And let me tell you how I'm seeing it, and you tell me if you agree or not. So yeah. I think what they're saying in this game is that in with these 11 people that are out there, it's not so much a game of, okay, here are the people that were left from this tribe and versus the people that were left from this tribe, like you would see in a traditional Survivor merge, or even it's like, okay, here's no collar, here's blue collar, here's white collar. Here, because we had so many swaps and so many pregame existing relationships, it really comes down to we have groups of three and two. And so with those groups of three and two, you really need two or three of those blocks to move together as one to be able to get a vote accomplished. So you might have, okay, well, instead of let me go with all these people, you have these people who are who's with who. And so it's a matter of figuring out who are the people that are not voting against one another and how many of those groups can I pull in and who are the people that those groups want to get out.
Right. I guess the only hang up for me is, you know, the semantics of like the block versus the alliance. What's the big critical difference between a voting block and just an alliance? Because even if it's a group of three like the witches, we're not calling that an alliance.
You could call it an alliance. But I think that what's interesting about this is that there's right now, the way I see it, that there are four different voting blocks. And we've never had a season where at this point in the merge where we could say there are four alliances right now.
Right. All right, so who are the blocks? Let's lay out the blocks. Let's start playing with some blocks.
Okay, so based on how we're seeing things, certainly the easiest one to spot is the witches' coven, as Kimmy would say, or the witches' coven, or as Stephen called them, the witches from Macbeth. And that just goes to show you just like how highbrow Stephen Fishback is, because I probably would have gone with Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, I would have too. Bette Midler style for sure. But yeah, call him Fishmail. He is a poet and you know it.
Yeah, so Stephen is calling them the Macbeth crew. Can we call them Hocus Pocus?
We can call them Hocus Pocus. You know, it was a fun week with the three amigas, and I thought that caught on social media, but the show is going to move away from it. So we can go Hocus Pocus right now.
Okay, so we got that. Plus, we have the post-swap buy-on men, which turned out to be Jeremy, Spencer, and Steven. That appears to be a block as well. Those were the three guys who voted against Kelly Wigglesworth with the three women from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, and you know, look, good on Spencer for going on that fishing trip with Jeremy. Obviously, it really yielded dividends for him. He's really in tight with those two right now.
Okay, then the third block that I was seeing was Keith and Joe. I think they're together. And it looks like from what we were seeing in the episode that Kelly Wigglesworth was part of this block. And so this is where I think that Steven is looking to say, boy, if I can't get Joe out, if I can't hurt Joe, who could I take out from his block who's not with me? And so I think that taking out Kelly was a proxy vote against Joe.
So they're taking Kelly out from the block is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's what they're trying to do. I see that. I think that the whole group of Kimmy, Tasha, Joe, Keith, and Wigglesworth, I mean, that all feels like a group that is in concert with each other. That seems like that was the biggest block on the street. And are you thinking that Joe is the top dog there?
See, Wigglesworth is interesting because I went back and I watched last week's episode and it looked like at times that Wigglesworth was with the witches.
Was hanging with the witches.
Yes, yes.
As we heard tonight during the spa food reward challenge, Kelly Wigglesworth is talking to everybody.
Yeah. So Kelly Wigglesworth, yeah, apparently was on good terms with just about everybody. Yeah, but
talking with everybody, call her Chatterbox.
You know, Kelly Wigglesworth, she seemed like she was probably most loyal to Andrew Savage. And I think that she would have definitely been somebody who was on board last week if Savage ended up going to the women and saying, hey, let's vote out Steven tonight. If Savage ended up picking up these three and then going with Keith and Joe and Kelly Wigglesworth, I think they could have gotten Steven out last week. But Savage wasn't ready to make that kind of move in the game. And Kelly in last week's episode was talking about like, what? We're not voting out Steven now? So she was on board for that plan to vote out Steven. So, I mean, again, good on Steven for identifying somebody who was willing to cut his throat in the game. So the real question is going to be now, Tasha and Kimmy, where are they? Which block do they fall in? It looks like Kimmy has no love for Hocus Pocus.
No love for Hocus Pocus. Not
she seems like somebody who maybe could be like the Trish here, where Tony is able to, okay, look, Trish, I voted against you, but I had to do it, and we're still good. You could trust me. But does Kimmy forgive as easily as Trish? I think
right,
not.
And can Fishback do as good of a Vlachos impression as you? I don't think so. So we'll see what that looks like. And what about Tasha? You know, Tasha has been tight with Jeremy, has been tight with Steven, has been tight with Spencer, has not been tight with Wentworth, Sierra, or Abby, really, or was tight with Abby once upon a time. A different fairy tale. Where do you think that Tasha is going to land in all of this? Do you think that she is somebody that can be seduced back to Steven, Spencer, and Jeremy's side?
You know, Tasha's another interesting one. And again, going back to last week's episode, which I was looking at, I thought it was very interesting that it was Tasha that was the one who was saying to Joe in last week's episode, well, you know how none of us trust Steven. And I thought that I was like, boy, you know, I don't think that we saw Jeremy go to protect Steven, but Tasha, right, I think might have been more loyal to Andrew's camp than she was to Jeremy's camp. So I think that Tasha could be a bit of a free agent here. And I think we're assuming that, you know, the Jeremy Spencer connection is enough to hold Tasha to that group. But if Tasha isn't feeling great about Steven, and if Tasha is picking up a whiff of this Tony vibe from Steven as the person who is out there, who's hustling, looking for idols, looking for advantages, willing to flip against his alliance and then come back, that she may not be super on board for that. And we could see Tasha replacing Kelly Wigglesworth in that Joe and Keith block.
The thing that's interesting about the Joe and Keith block is if they could get someone like Tasha, if they could keep Kimmy as well. And even if they don't, you know, even if they don't have Kimmy necessarily, they could link up with Hocus Pocus. The thing about this move that I don't like is how much power it does give to Hocus Pocus.
Oh, they're very powerful.
Very powerful. All of a sudden, these three people who seemed to be doomed to be pagonged, you know, who really seemed like they were just going to get knocked out of the game, suddenly have, you know, real cards on the table. It's yes, thank you, Stephen, for giving us this great plan that saves Kelly Wentworth's life another week. That being said, 3 days later, there's no reason why Wentworth, Sierra, and Abby couldn't just totally murk them out. So that's interesting. That comes down to who Hocus Pocus wants to work with. You know, if you look at that, these three people have been cracked up by Keith in the past, so they love Keith. Joe has, you know, one of Joe's strengths. There was a point in time earlier in the season where Joe is saying, I'm playing better than I was playing last season. I think that that's definitely true. We can talk about the immunity idol part of it. But one of the things that Joe has done really well is everyone loves Joe. And Joe has had a really solid relationship with Wentworth and Sierra as well. And yeah, you know, Joe is winning immunities. That makes him a threat. What happens if he loses immunity? Let's just knock him out. Maybe that's the move. That seems to be the simple move. But maybe it's not so simple. Maybe these three could be compelled to go and work with Joe. So, you know, as much as we're talking about it from like, how are Jeremy, Spencer, and Steven just going to like easily swing Kimmy and Tasha back into the mix? It seems like they can do that. There is this possibility for Joe to create a compelling counter case to bring Wentworth, Sierra, and Abby over to his cause.
And here's the other big problem that this creates. Okay, so you had this group of eight, this block of eight, or an alliance of eight, I should say, versus the group of three. And so it was like, okay, well, here's what we'll do. We'll do a split vote. And again, the split vote ends up, you know, it's like the weeks that they didn't split the vote, those were the weeks where they got burned. And then the weeks that they split the vote, then, you know, you're trying to get people who flipped over. So this was a case of they split the vote this time and ended up getting burned by the block of Jeremy and Steven and Spencer flipping and voting against Kelly Wigglesworth.
Right.
Now, that being said, now we have a very interesting vote going into the final 10, because Josh, do you see this group of seven coming back together and voting against one of Hocus Pocus?
I would not put money on anyone from Hocus Pocus going home next week. I think that they're fine next week. You know, maybe that's famous last words, but I have a hard time seeing any one of those three going down.
Because here's the thing. Now you want to split the vote against Hocus Pocus. Now it's a 4-3-3 split coming into the next vote. And you are one person flipping away from Hocus Pocus being able to do whatever they want. Could they be able to pull over somebody like a Tasha or somebody who's a little disgruntled with this. And again, there's no love between Steven and Joe, who are both part of this seven that need to work together. This is a very fractured seven moving forward. And if you are the Jeremy, Steven, and Spencer need a name also, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's JSS. Just survive somehow.
JSS, fine. Great. So JSS, they really need to trust Hocus Pocus, and I don't know if they can. So this is going to be very dicey moving forward. Like, they had a little bit of a sure thing tonight. They sort of gave that away, but now I think that this is going to be very exciting. I think that they just upset the apple cart so much tonight by pulling off this move. Like,
bad apple etiquette?
Yeah, you had a couple of easy votes where you could have taken out the witches 1, 2, 3 if you wanted to and got it down to the final eight. And Steven said about himself and Spencer and Jeremy, are we at the bottom? Are we at the top in that hierarchy of eight? Where did you see that group?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting he's saying, Jeremy and I got called out at the last tribal council as being two of the people in positions of power. Now people are thinking about that if they weren't thinking about that already. I don't know why Spencer would be such a big target other than, you know, he's smart and he's athletic and eventually people are going to want to go after that guy. I don't know how much the popularity thing weighs into it. Probably not a ton, but maybe a little. So I can see Steven, making the argument to these two guys being like, we're some of the biggest threats in the game. No one wants us to advance that far. I see that case. But man, what's interesting about JSS, man, I'm so glad that they blew up the game because this is such a fun battlefield right now. What's great about the JSS thing, yes, Hocus Pocus has a lot of power in that they get to choose where they want to go potentially. But Jeremy's got two idols. He's got both of Val's idols that she had in San Juan del Sur.
How great is that? Can we just stop down for a second and just talk about how amazing it is?
Unreal.
That Val and her fictional two idols have finally immortalized. It's like the secret. If you put it out into the universe, it'll come to you or your husband.
They were fictional, but now, Rob, they're real. So these are real idols now, and Jeremy has them. He has the only two idols in the game that we know of right now, and Steven's got the only other utensil in the game. He's got this, whatever we're calling it, the fish backsies. I like that. Let's hang on to that for right now. It doesn't seem like anyone in this pocket knows about that. It doesn't seem like Jeremy has told these guys that, hey, I've got one idol, I've got two idols. And I don't think that Steven has told them about fish backsies, or at least it hasn't made the air. But those are very powerful weapons in their arsenal. And depending on how those are used, that really complicates things so much more. What are your thoughts on fish backsies? What are your thoughts on the fact that we've got this? You can take a vote away from someone. You have to announce it at tribal council. Is this the right evolution of what was called the vote doubler or the second vote?
This is a game changer.
So for Steven, he gets his hand on Twitter. And again, it just brings such a smile to my face because I feel like going back to last season, we sat here and I had this same conversation with him of, okay, that Dan has a thing. What do you think about this? And I think that would probably be a fun conversation to go back and check out what Steven had to say about the Dan Foley twist when that first came into play. But now here's Steven with this in his hands and this very powerful weapon to be able to not just have a second vote, but to actually take a vote away from somebody and be able to use that. Now, we saw with Dan Foley, it did not work out great for him. The key for Steven is going to be, at what point do you use it and for what? And really comes down to, ideally, you'd love to know a point where your name is on the chopping block and there's a swing vote. And you could say, okay, let me take your vote away and put one more on you and then flip things around. I think it's going to be really fascinating to watch. And I just hope that Steven does not become paralyzed by this decision.
Yeah, no, I think that that's right. And I think that that's where we saw, it was the second vote wasn't exactly in the hands of the most astute Survivor player of all time when we were in Worlds Apart. But Fishback is an interesting ambassador of this weapon in the game. He is, thought of as a strategist. He is a Survivor know-it-all. He is a guy who has studied strategy intensely since his time off the show. He's been writing ever since Samoa. So he is a really interesting guy to have this new utensil in the game. And the other piece of it, I think what we saw with Dan was the way he used it at Tribal Council really told what he was going to do with it. And it really signaled to someone like Mama C, I got to protect myself. I'm in trouble tonight. And that's when Dan gets bounced out. So it's about timing. Does Steven have a good sense of the right timing to use this thing? But I think it's also a lot about presentation. And much love to Steven Fishback. This is something I would say to his face, and I think that I have said to his face, that I don't think that that's always his sweet spot. Certainly if you're looking at his final Tribal Council performance in Token Sheens, how he presents himself in Tribal Council when the pressure is really on and it's a really high stress, anxious situation. How is Steven going to act in that moment where you have to stand up and announce, I'm taking a vote from that person? It's about getting the right person, targeting the right person to take a vote away from. And I think a lot about what are you revealing in the way you present that information. So when that comes out, if that comes out, if he isn't knocked out before he gets the chance to use it, that's going to be unbelievable to see how that plays out. No idea how that'll play out.
Let's talk about the way that this came up, because we have this moment in the challenge. And again, it's the old doghouse challenge that we saw back in Survivor Caramoan and then again in Survivor Cagayan. And then we have somebody have to jump off if you want this advantage and go into this. And we've seen various things like this in Survivor history, and you sort of have to show your hand in terms of, you know, whether you're willing to go all out to get it and get it in front of everybody. Did you like that move for Steven to have to sort of show his cards to everybody of how desperately he wants that advantage in the game?
You know, it could be read a few ways. It could be contributing to the narrative that Steven is schemey, that he's a disgusting strategist and you can't trust this guy. But he seems to have the trust of, you know, the supermajority on this tribe, such as it exists anymore. But when it was in place, that no one's really questioning it. No one's really talking about throwing the votes on Steven. Tasha and Kimmy aren't upset about it. You don't hear a peep about it from Jeremy or Spencer. So he's got enough trust from these people that maybe he's able to sell it as, I had to get this away from the witches. And yeah, him and Spencer both get in the water. And I think at that point, it's just whoever gets it first. But I don't know. I think that there's definitely an argument for, wow, you're really playing hard, buddy. But I feel like everybody knows that. It's sort of similar to the Joe thing, where Joe, I believe, I know that you disagree or have disagreed, and I know others do as well, that I think that Joe really has to play these challenges. I think he has to play to win at this point. It's out there. They know, you know, he can't put that back in the bottle. And I think Steven is a different version of that, where everyone knows that he's a brainy, cerebral guy, and he is going to play hard in that direction. So why not go for it? He's not going to win this immunity challenge. Why not take the shot? He's usually first out anyway.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to Steven for winning that swimming dash against Spencer. I think it really came down to, you know, Steven is a very tall guy, and I think his reach is better than Spencer's. And then it was just a matter of playing into his strong suit of like reaching out with one of those long arms to hit the buoy.
And, you know, and Spencer's, you know, no shrimp. He's a tall guy, too. But Fishback's, he's a giant, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, really did a good job there.
So what do you think? Do you think that that was too aggressive for Steven, or do you think that this was a good play on his part?
You know, we've seen it both ways on Survivor. We've seen it, you know, that sort of aggressiveness be rewarded. And we've also seen it be something that is something like comes back to bite people in the butt because they tried so hard to get an advantage. So it could go either way. It really could. I think that it was just in concert with the move that he made in the game. I think it could potentially shine a negative light on him where, you know, I'm so jealous of the position that he's in the game, because I feel like if I was ever going to play Survivor again, I would just be, you know, like a pig in you know what, if I could ever get to the point where I'm in a merge and all of a sudden, you know, now let's go to work. And so I'm nervous for him that he could, where he doesn't have that big of a target on his back, especially now that Andrew Savage is out of the game, that he could just move under the radar. And then all of a sudden these guys wake up and it's final five, final six. And it's like, you idiots, you let Steven Fishback get this close to the end of the game. And now he could make a move and finally win this thing. But he's sort of gone the other way with it. He's sort of gone with I have to control my own destiny. I'm going to play this thoroughly aggressive game. And again, kudos to him. I don't know if it's going to work out, but I'm just really proud for him that he's able to, you know, go after it in this way.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've said this on the air, if it's just something that you've said to me in describing Steven. And I brought it up to him in my Ponderosa interview with him before the game started. And I said, well, Rob always refers to you, to me, as the alpha nerd. that you're kind of like an alpha nerd type. And I think that there's something to that. And maybe that's, you know, sitting with him, you know, maybe it's he's thinking of himself in that way where it's like, yeah, like Joe and Jeremy and Savage, those are like traditional alpha types. But Steven is going alpha in the other direction. I think the other thing, too, is like the closest cousin to this moment tonight is probably Mike Holloway and Dan Foley and Mama C going for the advantage at the auction. And Mike does the super aggressive move where he, you know, he's going to put the money down after he's fooled everybody into paying for the letters and he's just going to take it. And then he goes back. And so he goes, you know, he doesn't go full tilt on the decision. And he talks about how the mistake that I made was I should have gotten it. I should have gotten the advantage and I should have gone to Dan afterwards and said, I got this for us. I got this for you. Maybe even give it to Dan. Who knows? And talk about how this is, you know, this is the alliance that's coming after us. And now we got to make our move on them. You know, that was a really aggressive, proactive move. And I think that in this moment, I think that Steven is making the proactive move maybe that Mike Holloway would have wished that he had done. So I like it. I do. And obviously it didn't burn anyone that bad. I think the bigger thing is going to be voting out Wigglesworth tonight than the advantage, although the advantage on top of that is where it's going to get tricky.
Yeah. All right. So a lot to still figure out moving forward. What else from tonight's episode?
Oh, man, so much from tonight's episode. I don't know. I'm so caught up in all of these blocks.
Yeah.
So much block play.
Big bummer. Keith Nail did not get to eat spa food.
I was upset. I was very upset.
Certainly.
I was very upset.
Yeah. I just thought it was also really cool to see after the Kelly Wentworth idol play that it did seem like in the spirit of good sportsmanship, where in a lot of other Survivor seasons, we've seen people come back after a vote and be very petty with each other. It was a lot of like, yeah, that was a good move. That was a good job.
Yeah. People were pretty cool with Wentworth. I think we can't pass by without talking about Jeremy's idols in greater detail. What does this mean that Jeremy has this second idol now?
Now, did you think that was a little bit of a cheapo depot that this season we have so much hype? The idols are going to be hidden at challenges. This time, Jeremy gets the clue to the idol that says, okay, here's a map. Go when everybody is sleeping and there'll be a lantern.
Right. Yeah. And he, you know, it's forget royal treatment. You don't even need royal treatment to fake the bowel movement strategy like Boston Rob does in Redemption Island. Jeremy can just be in the middle of the night like, guys, I got to go dump. You know, the food earlier today really wasn't good. It wasn't great. I have to go take care of this. And who's going to question that? No one's questioning that. That's such
the only thing that I thought he could have gotten burned on. And this is a little bit inside baseball that if Jeremy got up in the middle of the night and said, hey, I have to go to the bathroom. And I saw a camera person follow him. I'd say, boy, that nobody ever has a camera person follow them to go to the bathroom. What's going on?
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be that should be a pretty big tell.
And especially at nighttime that there is a skeleton crew. And I like there's lots of camera people around in the daytime. But at nighttime, typically that at least during the time that I played, there was only one person who was there who was doing camera. I mean, maybe with so many people in the tribe, they had two at nighttime. But it would seem very odd. I don't know if anybody paid attention to it, that somebody would follow Jeremy into the woods when he said he had to go to the bathroom.
I think you call it inside baseball, but that's a very real part of Survivor. And I think that, you know, for these people who are returning players, they ought to be paying attention to that kind of thing. You know, certainly anyone who's playing Survivor ought to pay attention to the cameras and the fact that you are producing a show and the show wants to capture all of the interesting moments. Those are things to pay attention to 1000%. And for people who have played the game before, they really ought to know that. So that's a really good point. I'd love to hear that story from somebody, if anybody noticed that. Maybe that's a question for Kelly Wigglesworth, if you want to add that to the list.
Yeah, and that being said, there could have just been a camera person who was sort of like waiting in the distance of like over by where the idol was hidden so that they didn't arouse that sort of suspicion. That's entirely possible as well. But here's Jeremy now with two idols in the game. Now, the history of people with two idols is not necessarily always great, as James Clement could tell you back in Survivor China. And I was really thought, is that where we're going tonight? Is Jeremy getting voted off with two idols?
Yeah, I mean, it's not out out of the realm of possibility at some point. It's definitely on the table. This guy should be a huge target, so it could happen.
So here he is. So I did think that that wasn't necessarily great, the way that they ended up leading Jeremy to his idol, because there had been so much hype about the idols would be hidden in the challenges, but we had an advantage in the challenge, so this might have just been the wrong challenge to find the clue for, because they couldn't hide a clue and then also have an advantage. And where are we going to hide it? Inside the doghouse?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But that being said, I thought that Jeremy's reaction to it was just, you know, Jeremy somehow is able to do it. There's a lot of times where these survivors have like these emotional things, and you know, a lot of people got on Savage this season about some of his emotional things, and it made people not like him in some of these moments that he had to camera. But boy, Jeremy really does pull the heartstrings. I mean that he does. He has a very endearing quality about him, where he's able to, you know, cry on camera, and nobody's like, "Oh, Jeremy's such a baby." Like, and people fall in love with him.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure close to home for you. I mean, the types of stuff that he's talking about right now is that Val is pregnant as he's playing the game. He doesn't know if it's a boy or a girl. It's obviously very early on in the pregnancy, considering that I believe Val is still pregnant as of this podcast.
Yes.
So, I mean, you've played the show before. You could probably put yourself in those shoes, having just gone through the birth of a new child with your wife. So I'm sure that hits really close to home.
Yeah. I mean, it would be very difficult, I would think, for a person with kids to leave. And, you know, I never had to worry about that when I went to go play Survivor. But, you know, to have, you know, leave somebody who was expecting. Yeah, I can't imagine how stressful that all must be over the course of that. Let's get into talking about some of the questions from tonight, because, again, really, really fun episode. All these episodes with the merge, and even the one before, have been really electric.
Top notch. This is, you know, three level ones in a row, I think.
Yeah. This season has delivered. It has not been a bust really in terms of the hype. Josh, next week, are we getting a 2-hour episode?
Yeah, not only are we getting an episode the night before Thanksgiving, it's a doubleheader. It's two hours of Survivor the night before Thanksgiving. But it's okay, Rob. I like you more than I like my family, so I'll be here.
Okay, good. And you're not like one of these college kids that's going out to the bar or anything like that the night before Thanksgiving.
No. Behind this door that you see in the background will be my wife and her parents probably listening in on this entire conversation. But other than that, we'll be fine. It'll be good. Maybe we'll invite them in. It'll be a party. It'll be
all good. Right. Let's get into some of the questions. Why don't we start with Carrie? What does she have to say?
All right. Carrie says, did Steven better or worsen his position by working with the three girls who are very tight with each other? Mm. So what's your ultimate ruling on that as of this week anyway, as of this moment? I'm sure that, you know, like the game itself, it's going to be a fluid situation. But what's your immediate instinct for Steven's move tonight? Niche or boss up?
I'm still processing it. You know, in the short term, it was good because he took out somebody who was an ally of the person who he sees as the biggest threat, who is Joe. But in the long term, those three women, the Hocus Pocus group, will throw him under the bus. They have no loyalty to him. And so, I mean, what is better? What's worse? I mean, I guess it's better that he knows Kelly Wigglesworth isn't with him. Now she's gone.
Yes.
He doesn't know if Hocus Pocus is with him or not with him. So I think in his mind, he's like, okay, well, let me get rid of the person who I know is definitely not with me. But did he alienate Tasha and Kimmy to the degree that maybe he made more enemies and he can't clean up that mess? Or if he also put a bigger target on his back?
So, but what's your take? Like, how offended by being out of the dark or losing Kelly Wigglesworth are Tasha and Kimmy going to be? Like, are they that tight with Wiggs that this is going to be a total disaster?
Well, we've said all season long with Kimmy, you know, she's a, you know, Gemma Morrow teller. How's Gemma reacting to a blindside?
Not thrilled. Not great. Yeah, she'll probably, you know, she's looking to stick a fork in somebody's head after tonight, potentially. Yeah. You don't F with the family.
And we established that Tasha really was probably more on the Savage spectrum in terms of trusting Steven. And so even if Jeremy was sort of vouching for him, but it's not just Steven, it's Jeremy and Spencer. So maybe that drives Tasha back to Joe. And then I think that sets up a very interesting scenario. I just don't know if we're going to end up seeing that group, if Hocus Pocus could swing to the Tasha group. If Joe and Keith are able to recruit Hocus Pocus and Tasha and or Kimmy, that's big trouble for the JSS group.
What's also interesting too is like I could see JSS very easily wooing, not Wu Huang, but wooing Kimmy and Tasha back to their cause. But Wentworth, Sierra, and Abby, they do have that tight relationship with Joe. They've been amused by Keith. Keith seemingly has been good with them. Is it possible that JSS and Hocus Pocus could divide the remaining four, and now we are going into 10 people left, 5 and 5? Is that on the menu at all?
Well, that's the big problem here with 10 people left, because if Hocus Pocus, if they're able to just get Keith and it's Keith and Joe, that's 5, and Tasha and Kimmy, they might not be up for going with a tie.
Yeah. But we know Sierra would. We know Sierra would be down for that.
Sierra would be down for that. But then it comes down to how much do some of these other people, how loyal are they to JSS? And how loyal is JSS to each other?
Yeah, it's a volatile situation. I mean, we got to think about the final 10 next week, the 10 who are still in the game, and the 9, because we're going to have a doubleheader. Oh, God, next week's going to be fun. I can't wait for Thanksgiving. It's going to be
great. Should be an insane night. Do you get the sense that are we more likely to have a boring vote at 10? Or do you think that they've just got to speed things up along?
Dude, I mean, I don't know that there's a boring vote to be had. Is there a boring vote in your mind? Like, what's a boring vote given this configuration right now? Even people getting back together, there's some drama there in how do we heal ourselves in this moment. So I don't see a boring vote on the table. I think it's going to be good. And then after that, after 10, we're at 9, which is always an interesting spot. So I think it's going to be a good 2 hours of Survivor next week.
Yeah, the last couple seasons, we had 2-hour episodes, both in Survivor San Juan del Sur and Worlds Apart. The San Juan del Sur 2-hour episode was the first hour was Reed ended up going home. And that was when John Mish and Jacqueline were breaking up on the beach. And there was that whole thing. So that was exciting. And then the second hour was where Alec Christie got voted out, where it was supposed to be Keith Nail and Natalie ended up switching things up. So that was a pretty exciting 2-hour episode. And then last season, I think that the first hour was a little bit more of a snoozer than the second hour. I believe that was where Lindsay ended up getting voted out. And then the second hour, I believe, was the tribe swap where Max Dawson went home.
Right. That was Footgate.
Footgate. That's right.
Warts and all. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the doubleheaders have been, I think the Worlds Apart one is weaker than the San Juan del Sur. But just looking at the board, man, I don't see how it's boring next week. Hope to be proven wrong or proven right. I'm knocking on wood right now. But I don't see how it's going to be bad. It's going to be great. I'm very excited.
Let's keep going.
All right. This is from Luke Beckstrom. Was that move too early? Is Steven overestimating the evolution of voting blocks? I think that's a question we've chewed on a bunch. Is the move too early? I don't know. Maybe not. I'm glad it happened when it did, because I think it's better than just knocking through the witches. It's great to have them in the game still.
My big question about this was, if they just choked it down to 8, if they got down to 8 and it was JSS with Keith and Joe, and you're assuming that Joe doesn't lose immunity before them, but let's just say hypothetically they got it down to this 8 and they got rid of all Hocus Pocus, don't you feel like JSS is in a pretty good position?
Yeah, potentially. Potentially, I could see them in a good spot there.
I mean, I feel like you get down to 8, and I feel like you have JSS, and I feel like Tasha and Kimmy are, 4 and 5 in this alliance. And then you could pick off Keith and Joe and Kelly and get it down to the final 5. I mean, I think it's a very boring season, and maybe that's not what those guys are really wanting to do. But I feel like when it's your money out there, I feel like that seems like the path of least resistance to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be a thing that we're going to have to take some time to chew on that to see if it was too early. I don't know about it from that perspective. From the perspective of somebody who loves to watch Survivor every single Wednesday night, I'm so glad they made the move they did. So that's ultimately what I care about.
No, it's great for us. We're very happy
for us.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Spencer. Thank you, Hocus Pocus.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Duke Mays or Noah Wagner says, can Kimmy bust things up? She seems to be able to have good links and be able to flip people.
When did that happen? On the Monica vote?
Yeah. So yeah, it was the Monica vote. So what are you saying? Is Kimmy was Kimmy Trish in this scenario, in this Kageyan parallel, or was Tasha the Trish?
No, I think Kimmy is the Trish, and I think that hopefully she ends up coming back to this, because Kimmy is the one who seems like the most against the Coven, AKA Hocus Pocus, she was the one that was really pushing to get them out. And I think that the fact that she didn't get her way, that the guys went behind her back and kept the women around. And we've seen Kimmy want to consistently vote against the other women on this season. I think she's going to be pissed. I don't think she's going to go and vote with them, but yeah. I think she's going to be pissed.
I think so. I think so too. This is from Sebastian Raich. First time in Survivor history that someone is voted out of the challenge because they weren't able to make a transition.
That's not true.
I believe referring to Wigglesworth there.
Yeah, we've seen that. We've seen that happen before.
Yeah, I think so. But man, that was she couldn't get the foot up.
Yeah.
Wigglesworth can't get it up is the quote, I believe.
I also wonder if they might have started like, because typically there's three rungs on that doghouse. They started on the middle one. I don't know if that was maybe a weather issue or is like, okay, we don't want to be out here all day, because I don't know how long they ultimately went before they went down to, you know, stand on one foot. But I believe it was a good like 4 hours in Survivor Karamoan before Brenda and Andrea said, for fun, hey, let's just stand right on 1 foot.
Yeah, make your own rules.
I think that might have been a production. It's like, all right, let's cut to the chase here and let's move this show on the road.
Yeah, I think that they liked that idea. They adopted that. It was like, oh, that's good.
Okay.
I like that. Lift the foot. That's good. Bobby Jefferson says, so unlike Dan's extra vote, Stephen Steele doesn't require an even number. It can literally break, flip a vote too big or fair. Do you think that this is too powerful in Stephen's hands or in anyone's hands?
Again, I'm still trying to process it. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of questions about this in the voicemail show coming up tomorrow. And so I think that we ultimately had our decision where we talked about the way that Dan's extra vote unfolded, where it was that we said the hidden immunity idol was more powerful than Dan's extra vote. What's more powerful, the Stephen Fish Baxi or the hidden immunity idol?
Yeah, I think we'll see. I think you're right. I think we'll have to see how it plays out. It's such a new idea to wrap your head around. I think it's all going to come down to the presentation, the timing of it. I think it's in the right person's hands. So I'm excited to see how that plays.
Okay. This is from Carl Swanson, who says, should someone keep Joe until the end? All he does is win challenges with no strategy. Can that win an all-star season?
Can that win an all-star season? I think that, you know, Joe getting to the end, you got to look at who's on that jury, and just everybody on that jury is going to love Joe. You know, anyone who's on that jury, no matter what the configuration of the final three is, those people love Joe. So Joe's a risk. And if he gets there, it does mean that he had to have won a crap ton of challenges. So yeah, I don't think you want to go to the end with Joe. I would not want to go to the end with Joe. I like Joe. I'd like to have a beer with Joe. I don't want to go to the end of Survivor with Joe. This is something that I saw from Colin Stone on Twitter tonight. I saw him say something along the lines of, can we stop acting like it's such an absurd outcome that Joe could win every single immunity down the stretch? Is it such an absurd prospect that Joe could do this 10 immunities in a row? Is it off the table? Are we underestimating this man? I mean, that's three in a row, and it's three in a row pretty handily. I mean, Abby put up a great fight. Tons of respect for Abby tonight, but Joe is crushing it in these challenges.
Yeah, I think that there is going to be a challenge that he's not going to win. I think that's pretty absurd. Yeah, sure. He got three in a row. He got two in a row to start off the merge last season. So, yeah, if you say, let's just say hypothetically, the chance that Joe is going to win every single immunity challenge that comes up. Let's say Joe has an 80% chance to win every challenge. Do that 10 times in a row. You know, you do that, you know, okay, oh, good, got it. Like one of these times he's going to end up rolling snake eyes and not win a challenge. He cannot win 10 challenges in a row.
We'll see. I mean, I think it's a daunting, highly unlikely prospect, but absurd. I think I would stop short of absurd.
He's the odds on favorite every time he goes out there, but the laws of probability would dictate that he cannot win every single one.
He keeps winning those rewards and fueling up with spa food, man. I don't know. Keep that guy fed and it's dangerous.
Also, I mean, sure, he's won three and it's not like he's down to final seven. Like, there's still nine other people that he's competing with in these challenges. Like, eventually there's going to be one that he's not amazing at.
Yeah, he's not Joey Amazing yet. Listen, I wouldn't put money down that Joey Amazing is going to win every single immunity challenge, but I don't think it's ridiculous. I think it's possible.
I would say that there is, look, it's not a one in a million shot, but I'd say it's probably, if I had to guess, a one in 20 shot, one in 25. that he could win every single challenge going down the rest of the way?
I would say Joe really ought to make it four in a row next week. I think that we've talked about like the moment that Joe is not immune anymore, you take him out. I think that that rule is really in play next week if these people are smart. That's probably your shot. If you've got JSS and Hocus Pocus on the same page, if they can stick together, if you can get Tasha on board, it's the right time to do it if you can get him out next.
Okay. Let's go to, this is from Chris Brannigan, who says, three Mr. and Mrs. Survivor finalists, Mr. Survivor, Knowing Is Know-It-All, and Abby Alliance confirmed.
RHAP Alliance confirmed. Abby's kind of funny in the mix there. I mean, Abby was almost a Miss Survivor candidate.
Write-in candidate.
She was a write-in candidate. Yeah. So yeah, let's go with it.
So you think that this person thinks that this group of JSS plus Kelly Wigglesworth, Sierra, and Abby Maria are linked by a love of this podcast? That's what they're working together with?
I don't think that's what they're working together with. You got to imagine at one point on the island, those guys were probably like, oh, these people are going to love it. They're going to love what we just did. They're gonna be very happy with what just happened. Maybe. Oh, there's so much time out there. That had to have come up. If Taite Waite's came up on Blood versus Water, you got to imagine that came up here.
We'll see. I would be, again, we'll get to ask all of these questions. I'd be surprised if it came up that much. I think everybody is, busy with their own stuff on the island.
Sure. Connor says, do you have Kelly not raising her hand when Jeff asked who felt unsafe, help seal her fate with the boys voting her out? No, I don't think so. I think Kelly was probably toast at that point anyway.
Yeah. Nobody's changing their vote at Tribal Council based on who didn't raise their hand when Jeff said who feels safe.
Right. Interesting question from R. Philly. Did Steven and Sierra actually see Wigglesworth as a threat at the end, or did they create that image to instill fear and take control? I think from Steven, one of Steven's secret scenes a couple of weeks ago, you talked about this with Jordan Parhar in voicemails, was his talk about who can I trust, who can I beat? And Wigglesworth was on the she's going to beat me if she gets to the end list. So he certainly thought of her as a threat.
Mm-hmm. No, and Josh, when I did my Periscope over the summer and I had to pick a winner for this season, I said, okay, let me pick Kelly Wigglesworth because I think she's going to be somebody who's going to be a force in the challenges. And I think that there is a reverence for her where nobody is targeting her. And then also I think that if she gets to the end, I do think you have to give her the money because it's such a great story that, okay, she was the loser in the first Survivor. Here she is 30 seasons later. Let's give her the money now. So I think that she did have a really good story. And I think that she was somebody who didn't really get on people's nerves, and that goes a long way. And I think that she was probably too much of a threat more than any other reason, and that's why Steven and company had to get rid of her.
You've talked about this extensively when it comes to the topic of Kelly Wigglesworth, such as, extensive conversation can happen around this character on Survivor, this contestant, about how you thought maybe she was going out there mercenary style. I don't give a hoot about TV. I don't care about making good TV. And yeah, that doesn't translate to a super compelling character, but it doesn't mean she wasn't playing. And we hear it, whether it was the editors having fun with us or what, it was said. It was said that Kelly talks to everyone. She's talking to everyone. She's got a good relationship with everybody. So I buy that she was a threat out there. Not great TV, but a threat for sure.
Okay. By the way, I'm very excited about the secret scenes for this week's episode. I feel like that's going to illuminate a lot of what people were thinking going into this vote.
Absolutely. I agree completely. Jorge Alvarado says, would Jeremy have made this move if he hadn't found a second idol in case things go awry? What's the psychology behind having an idol? Idol psychology. I would take that class.
Yeah. Well, the thing is about with this hidden advantage that Steven has, it's like, okay, now to the man with the hammer, everything looks like a nail and not necessarily the Keith nail. Now we talked about Steven and whether or not he's overthinking things.
Right.
Now this adds a layer of complication to every single vote now the rest of the way. And again, I am concerned that it could, to some degree, be an issue of paralysis by analysis.
Uh-huh. Just even forecasting a little further down the road, there's going to be an auction at some point this season, you got to imagine, right? I mean, with an all-star cast, don't you want to see that auction? I feel like that's tough for Survivor to resist, especially when we're calling on classic challenges. Is there going to be something else that pops up? Will there be?
I think this was it.
You think that's it? You think that at final 11, that's going to be the end of twists in the game, or in this twist-packed season, you don't see how we could see the second vote reemerge or something pop up at the auction?
Well, maybe if Steven goes out, maybe it goes back, gets reintroduced into the game. I think that they are concerned about having too many different things going on at once.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, so much to put your brain around, but I don't think it's impossible.
I mean, we've got two hidden immunity idols and the vote stealer going on.
Yeah. The fishbacksies.
Fishbacksies happening. So
as it shall be called.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Josh, we didn't really touch on the weather, which seems to have taken a turn to the worst it's been all season.
Yeah. It's gotten serious. It was a huge, huge torrential downpour. You know, there had been lots of reports about like Cambodia is a brutal, devastating place for Survivor to be filmed at. It hadn't been awful. Like there had definitely been moments, but it just dumped on them. It dumped on them this episode. So that sucks. You know, it really took a toll to the point that like Steven's first course of business wasn't, you know, going and seeing what the clue said, what the advantage said. It was getting in the shelter and trying to warm up because he was dying. So yeah, they looked freaking miserable out there.
Yeah. No, my heart goes out to these guys who are trying to compete through stuff like this. And it's the worst part of being on Survivor is the bad weather. Yeah, let's take another question or two. Let's take this one from Gil, who says, why didn't Steven, Jeremy, and Spencer include Tosh and Kimmy in their plan to vote out Wiggles? Yeah, why didn't JSS bring them in? Well, I think that probably it's the reason that Kimmy in particular, and probably Tasha, wanted to vote out the women. Don't forget that Sierra is the close ally of Cass, and that Sierra was creating this whole big firestorm against Tasha a couple of weeks ago. So I think that is probably a very good reason why Kimmy and Tasha did not want to work with Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, and I think it's a testament to the fact that Kimmy and Tasha must have been tight, or at least tight-ish, with Wigglesworth. And, you know, telling them that we're going after Wigglesworth would somehow get back to Wiggles, or, you know, it's the kind of, it's, you know, beg forgiveness, don't ask permission kind of rule. Like I'll take the chance that I can rebuild my relationship with Kimmy and Tasha after this night. But if I tell them in advance and ask them for permission to go after Kelly Wigglesworth, they'll throw a fit and then we can't make the move. Then we have to be like, all right, fine, we won't do it. So if you're planning on making the move anyway with these people in the mix, I think maybe you're taking a leap of faith that you can bring them back. And that's a better chance than convincing them before the vote to get on board with it. Maybe something could go wrong there.
Josh, what do you think the chances are after this season is over that we are able to get Kelly Wentworth, Abby Maria, and Sierra on a podcast to recap the movie Hocus Pocus?
I think that's got to be 100% or very, very close to 100%. I think that can happen.
Okay. That'll be fun. Coming in January. All right. And then last question. What do we got, Josh?
Diana Manning says, what's Steven's move with the advantage? Does he tell the members of JSS or lie to the whole tribe, or does someone go and look in his bag? You know, this is one piece of this. And then there was also Kelly Wentworth being asked, where did you find the idol? And Wentworth says, I don't know. I found it. What does Steven say? Like, what do you say in those situations? Do you just say, I found it in the woods? If you're Kelly Wentworth, if you're Steven, what do you say that this advantage says? He said, I don't know. I guess you'll find out if you come at me, bro. You know, what's the move? How do you articulate that?
Has to tell Jeremy and Spencer what's going on. He cannot risk that those guys don't trust him. We've seen Steven all season long, even going back to Survivor Token Chains, that Steven is a big believer in, I want to find the idol so I can build relationships, build trust within my alliance. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the things that he does after this vote is go to Kimmy and go to Tasha and say, hey, here's what my advantage is. How do we use this as a group to try to rebuild some of that support? I'd be surprised if he shows it to Joe and Keith. And I would be surprised if he doesn't have some sort of like cockamamie story of, oh, it's not even that good. It's like some lame thing where, you know, I get an extra $20 in the auction. It's so lame. I wish I didn't jump off. So
Hell of an advantage.
But I do think he will share that information with his allies. And maybe that's one of the things that we get some more insight into in the secret scene.
Yeah, I think so. But I think, you know, you're right. Steven with the idol in Token Chains, that idol doesn't even get played, I don't think. But it's let's rally around this. We've got it. We know where the idol is. We've got this thing. We can build something with this. You could see him using the fish backsies in a similar way. The problem being that there are, as they are viewing it, as the contestants seem to be viewing it, everyone's scattered in blocks. It's not alliances. And maybe he could trust Jeremy and Spencer, and that's his core. But if he opens it up to Kimmy and Tasha and things are as fluid as they are, once more people know specifically what that thing is, does that put more of a target on him? You know, I don't know. I know that he does like these things as relationship builders, but I think it's more complicated than that in this setup than it was in Token Jeans for sure.
Let me just say this plainly. If it put a target on Dan Foley, it will put a target on Stephen Fishback.
It's already there. I mean, it's there. You know, it exists. He has it. So it's just a matter of, you know, maybe it's just a matter of like play that thing soon. You know, play it fairly soon. Don't hang on to it as long as Dan.
I think that's a great idea. I really do. I think that the longer it's in his pocket, and like the temptation is to hold on to it. But I think, you know, burn that advantage, you know, find the best time to use it soon, because the longer that you have it, I think it sort of festers in people's minds. Like, got to get rid of Steven. He's got the advantage. He's going to get me out.
Yeah, go fish backsies on Thanksgiving, I think. That sounds like the move. One of these next two episodes or an episode after that. Don't hang on to it too long.
All right, Wiggler, great job tonight. So much fun stuff to be able to talk about it. And I feel like, the know-it-alls, even though Steven is not here, I feel like we haven't missed a beat this season. So great stuff.
We've got the ghost of Fishback here. You know, I think that he's hanging out. So it's been great. It's been really fun. These past few episodes have just been monstrous. Really good stuff.
Okay, so as of this time, Kelly Wigglesworth exit interviews coming tomorrow. You could hear mine right here on Robin's podcast. You could read Josh's on parade.com. Go to robinswebsite.com/parade. Or, of course, you could follow Josh on Twitter. He's at Round Howard. Yes, of course, like Howard. Then we're going to have our interview with Nalia on Thursday. Plus, I'm going to have a voicemail podcast with Bryce Isaiah. You can get your voicemails into the show. Go to robinswebsite.com/voicemail or call them in 323-282-RHAP. So we're very excited about that. It's going to be a busy Thursday.
Busy Thursday. Can't wait to listen to it all. It's going to be really great. Okay. Hashtag Fishbaxies. That's easy.
Fishbaxies. I was going to go with Hocus Pocus, but we can go
that's
with
that's probably being used. That's probably out there.
Okay. All right. So that's very exciting. And boy, can you believe it, Josh? We are less than a month away from the finale. They haven't announced it yet, but I believe December 16th looks like it. There's only... what, like three more Wednesdays in between now and then? So we really are cutting it down to the wire. We're going to have to, figure out what we're doing for these last couple of weeks of the season. Should be very exciting.
It'll be good. It'll be really good. Can't wait.
Looking forward to reading your comments on robhasawebsite.com and can't wait to get into it. Fun stuff tonight. Take care, everybody. Bye.